God of wisdom, grant, we pray, that the words we have read today may be grafted in our hearts, so that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good works, to the honour and praise of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can remember the very first time that I saw Google Maps. It was an absolute revelation to me. I was sitting in a bar in Philadelphia with a friend of mine who had just bought a smartphone, the very first smartphone that I'd ever seen. This huge Motorola thing, big black thing running Android. And he showed me how to get precise directions to an address in New York City. He picked up the phone, he spoke into it, and then the phone miraculously not only gave him directions step by step to this address, but also turn by turn directions on a screen that anyone could follow. He pressed start and it gave voice directions from this place in Philadelphia to this place in New York City. I can still remember that moment because it was such a fundamental shift in what technology could do for me. I always get lost. Now I would never get lost again. Anywhere was now virtually impossible not to find, as long as, of course, one could afford the technology to allow you to do so. It connected in some way with that deep down desire to know where we're going and how we're going to get there. I still use Google Maps today. In fact, I virtually can't imagine what life would be like without it. In life, we all need to know where we are going. Where are we headed? What is our destination? And it goes from the simple to the sublime. It might be something as simple as working out which shop to buy our groceries from. Are we going to go to Toscano's first and then the supermarket, or are we going to the supermarket and then we're going to Toscano's? It might be something more complex. Where do you want to travel? And where shall we start and where shall we end? And it might even be a more profound question. Where is my life heading? Where am I heading? In all these things, there is a great and underlying need to know our destination. In today's reading from St. John's Gospel, from our patron saint, Jesus teaches us of our final destination, which is a place in his Father's house. How reassuring is that? That no matter what happens here on earth, we have a place reserved for us in his Father's house. In other words, in God's house. If we can believe that, if we can really take that on board, then we can know our entire life where we are headed. There is no ambivalence, there is no uncertainty, just firm knowledge of our final destination. That should, and I hope does, give us much comfort and consolation. I've discovered that many people spend a great deal of time in their life searching for ultimate answers. I know of countless people, and I think especially of young people straight after leaving school, who spend a year or so travelling the world in search of themselves and or meaning in life. It's always seemed to me to involve visiting an ashram or two, or backpacking, and certainly in the 1990s, at least with my colleagues from school, a lot of dreadlocks. Such a search is symptomatic of the greater search for meaning that so many of us have, not only in our young years, but right throughout our lives, especially when there is time to reflect on those bigger questions. Perhaps in this time of lockdown and isolation, these are questions that are bubbling up for you. Where is true meaning to be found in my life? What am I here to do? And who am I to be? Even perhaps, what is my final destination? Jesus offers us a very simple almost too simple answer to this search for meaning, and thus the question of how to live. Believe in God, believe also in me, he says. In other words, that centering one's life around belief in God, simply taking this on as a foundation in one's life, will in very many ways make living with purpose and living with meaning so much more straightforward. Not easier, but certainly simpler. And Jesus inserts himself into the picture by saying that just as one believes in God, then of course one should also believe in me. Again, a very simple formula to the complexities and conundrums of life, but hugely significant. Belief in God is one foundation and belief in Jesus is the other. Why? Because, as we know from the wider New Testament, Jesus is a living incarnation of God, God made flesh, God made human. In him, as St. Paul writes, is found all the glory of God. Seeing Jesus, thus, is seeing God, the maker of all things. In believing in Jesus, we can thus center our lives around a man who lived and breathed just like every one of us, which helpfully gets around the myriad problems of trying to live after the manner of the utterly complex and unknowable God, a God who creates the universe, which, it must be said, can be more than a little difficult to relate to. Rather, in Jesus, we have the model, the perfect model, of human living. All the attributes of God are found in him and are expressed in his life. Unconditional love, mercy, peace, grace, concern for the least in our world, healing, and always, always, always new life. If one is looking for meaning and purpose in life, again, Christ teaches us this simple formula: believe in God and believe also in me. In our gospel reading for today, John then records that Jesus goes on to teach us that not only has he a place reserved for us, but that he himself goes ahead to prepare the way for us. If you have ever stayed with friends or family and had a place prepared for you, when done well, it is such a wonderful gift. A freshly made bed, towels curled up at the end, maybe some nice soap or even a piece of chocolate or two. Equally, if you have had house guests and prepared a place for them, you would know of the intentionality and the care that goes into making a guest feel welcome by the way in which one has prepared a place for them. If we, who are so very simple compared to God, can do a pretty good job in this regard, imagine not only the place reserved for us by Jesus, but consider also the extraordinary nature and execution of that preparation for you and me. So our final destination is not only in God's house, but is also prepared precisely for us. This is a great and abiding hope and comfort. And no wonder then that over the years, indeed only in this past week, has this reading been read at funeral and memorial services, because of the comfort it gives us of the final destination of a family member or a friend who has died. Let me just say a couple more things. If home is a safe place for you, and I sincerely hope that it is, that it's a place of peace, love, embrace, comfort and joy, then I think you will agree with me that there are times in our lives when we just want to go home. If you're sick at work or at school, you just want to go home. If you're grieving, in shock, if you're hurting in some way, you just want to go home. If you're in hospital, you can't wait to go home. Home for us is that place we have created to make us feel secure and to be a place of rest and hopefully recreation. Our final destination in God's house is exactly that, but of course writ large and beyond our imagination. God's home awaits us at the end of this life. And knowing that it is there and that it is prepared by God for us is a great comfort indeed. Like Thomas, however, the way there might not always seem clear, especially amid all the distractions of life and indeed through the extraordinary pressures of the time that we now live in. We too may ask what Thomas asks. Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus reminds us very simply and very reassuringly that in him is the way, and in him is the truth, and in him is the life. And so our life is to be modelled after this, and our life is to be modelled after him. And as difficult as that may be, but always in the knowledge that his way leads us home to God, and a home prepared for each and every one of us. Amen.